This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodi. In their monthly show at Publica Solaris Dutamas, we have in the studio with us the folks from Pusaka, Edin Ku and Pauline Fan to give us a sneak peek of this Sunday's show, which is a presentation of Portuguese dancers. Welcome. How are both of you today?
Very well.
And welcome, Edin. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. Why did you decide to end the year? You know, you've been having this every month at Solaris Dutamas at Publica, but why with the Portuguese dance?
Well, it is coming to the end of the year and coming to the holiday season as well as the Christmas season. And so we decided to curate the Portuguese song and dance for this time because they are, of course, they're a Catholic community. They're also very much celebratory, and so it's very joyful, very festive, and it's perfect for the holiday season.
And then, you know, how does all of this fit with what you're doing at Pusaka? I mean, when we think of you and Pusaka, we always think of the Mat Yong and the, you know, all the Clantonese, the sort of dying, I always say this, the dying art. And I know you hate saying me saying it's the dying art. Okay, the art that, you know, has sort of taken, sort of hidden, hasn't come to the fore in a long time. But why the Portuguese dance?
Well, the Portuguese are so much a fabric of our country, and they are so much a part of the bloodstream of the place. And, you know, we think of the Portuguese community somewhat quixotically when actually they're so essential to understanding essentially the ways communities come together and influence each other. And, of course, they give us great insight into the very cosmopolis of Malacca, and they still remain a testament to what a cosmopolitan culture is. So I don't think it's very divorced from all the things that we do. And as you know, we've been expanding our work, you know, to go beyond all that ritual and anguish to encapsulate, you know, things that are still so crucial to the life of community and as expressed in its music and dance.
Yeah, you know, you spent a lot of time in Malacca when you were growing up, Edin, but with the Portuguese now, I mean, you always talk, read about the Portuguese settlement. And, you know, I remember I go there all the time for, you know, Christmas Eve just to see the lights and how they decorate and they celebrate. And a lot of this land in the Portuguese settlement is slowly being taken away from those people. What do you think will happen to the community, to the culture? Do you think it will sort of die off with them as the, you know, the settlement is no longer around?
No, I'm very averse to the notion of dying out. You know, there's this terrible lamentative quality that is creeping into Malaysian culture and the Malaysian sensibility. I think the issue of land has been a decades-long one. When I first became a journalist, I remember I went to interview the regidor then, or the headman, Michael, I can't remember his name now, full name. But it's been a problem ever so long. And of course, the memory that I have as a child of Malacca is totally very remote now. I mean, I used to stay in the Bastion House, which was just by the Stadhuis, and just by the side of our Formosa. And the sea literally came to within 100 meters of the Bastion House. These are very practical and very critical problems that need very pragmatic solutions. But I think the community itself has its own resolve. But of course, all problems that affect communities in Malaysia are shared Malaysian problems. And I think one of the things that we also in our work is, you know, when you go into the essence of the culture that is encapsulated in music, in dance, in storytelling, that sense of belonging and embracing a community that is essentially part of us and very much one of us also helps consolidate a sense of solidarity and of community within the group itself. So, communities never really die away. They never fade away. You know, they always just need greater impetus to to stake their place on what is theirs.
The Portuguese in Malacca are often referred to as the Cristão community. And, you know, we did a show just very recently with Joan and Mel on this. And Joan, you know, is very much an advocate of keeping the language alive. But Cristão literally means Christian. And, you know, how are you going to bring this part of, you know, the Portuguese people out through in the dances that you're going to be performing on Sunday at Pública?
Well, the many of the songs are actually sung in Cristão. Yeah, so you have songs that are sung in Cristão. Also, you have songs that are sung in kind of old Portuguese. Some of these songs were even composed. So not all of them are actually just songs that were learnt and passed down from generation to generation. Some of them were actually learnt and composed. There's one song, a very, very beautiful song, which was composed by it was composed by one of the very pioneering singers and dancers of the Portuguese community. I forget his name, but he... it was sung by Noel Felix, who is one of the custodians of Portuguese culture. And today it's become part of the oral tradition, because that song is passed down. It's been composed in Cristão. And even things like Jinkli Nona, which is the emblematic song of the Portuguese community, that is in Cristão. And so there are versions actually of that song throughout the various ports and throughout the various Cristão. Throughout the various the communities of Portuguese descendants around Asia, actually, there's a whole diaspora around Asia. So you have places like Sri Lanka, you have places like Goa, Macau, and
South Africa,
Timor-Leste as well. You know, so I mean, you can trace the maritime trade routes actually of the Portuguese Empire left all these different ports and all these communities of Portuguese Eurasians throughout Asia, and so Malacca is one of them. And to this day, it's interesting to see just the way it's evolved. There are very, very strong, of course, elements of old Portuguese, but there are also very strong elements of local language and culture.
Okay, so that song just now you were talking about by Noel Felix.
The name actually of the composer is Norman de Mello.
Okay, yes, and it's titled O Amor?
O Amor.
Okay, we'll just have a quick listen to that.
O amor, yang que manda que vos vai, tudo gente punta diz que yang que bom. O amor, meu coração, quem se conhece sangue dá. O amor, yang que manda que vos vai, minha lagre de olho te pinga.
And that is the Cristão language.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to hear a lot of that on Sunday.
Yes, absolutely.
At Pública.
Yes.
And how will we understand? Do we need to understand it?
I don't think it's necessary to understand every single word. I mean, we may provide a little bit of translation in the notes that precede the program, that accompany the program. But I don't think, like all of our traditions, it's not really essential to understand it word for word. I think what you get out of these traditions is more of the soul and the passion and the sensibility of each community.
Okay, so that's the music. We've done the language. What about the dance? How does all of this translate to the Portuguese dance?
Well, the Portuguese oral traditions are very much, it's the music and the dance really go together. So you don't often get just Portuguese music without the dance, because these actually come and originated from the Portuguese folk music and dance of the countryside and of the seaside. And so many of the Portuguese, the first Portuguese who came to Malacca in 1511 and in the 16th century, many of them came as soldiers, as merchants, and they originated from the countryside. Many of them used to come from farming communities or from fishing communities, and so they brought those songs with them. They brought the sensibility, even the dress, what you see, what we now identify as the dress and costume of the Portuguese community in Malacca is very much very, very similar to what they wear in Portugal. Still to this day, in places like the Algarve regions, you still find that kind of traditional farming with the men wearing the boleros and the black hats, and the women wearing these beautiful embroidered red dresses, very often red, floral embroidery, and these billowing skirts. And that also adds to the drama of the dance, because these dances, very many of them are danced in circular formations. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of twirling and spinning in these dances, and interaction between couples as well. And so you get the whole sense of community very much in the dance and in the songs.
Okay, but how much has been retained, really, Edin? I mean, back in the day when the Portuguese first came to Malacca. Edin, you just want to go through with us, you know, going back in history a little as to how, you know, they came and how the influence of the locals sort of crept in. And I know the dance is somewhat, you know, evolved since then.
Well, one of the very interesting things about the Portuguese conquest of Malacca, or the Portuguese Empire, of course, was that it was it was the first European venture out into the Orient. They left a great legacy behind in the form of, you know, the great first, perhaps one of the first encyclopedias that we know of Tomé Pérez, the Summa Oriental. They also left that great epic poem, romance poem, called the Lucidas by Camões. What was very interesting about the Portuguese venture out was, of course, that it was very, very syncretic, right? So they picked people up along the way of the trade route. And when we speak of Portuguese, we don't specifically naturally speak of European Portuguese. No. And even when you look at Iberian culture in Portugal, it is such a mishmash. It's an incredibly syncretic, eclectic culture. So this idea of what constructs the Portuguese cultural makeup is a very diverse one and very reflective, I think, of how the landscape. I mean, sea routes always do that, right? Mm. The sea routes always do that, from Portugal to the Cape of Good Hope down to India in Goa and so on. And so this very syncretic culture is emerged. And that, of course, helps the community constantly innovate and improvise with their culture. I mean, the song we just heard, O Amor. And of course, the Malaccan Portuguese were very crucial and very important community in the development of all kinds of social entertainment forms in Malacca.
They
the cabaret.
Very happy-go-lucky people.
Very sociable.
Laid back, yeah.
Very sociable, I think very inspired and very, very musical. Mm. And when we look at Dondang Sayang culture, mm-hmm. for example, in Malacca, which is such an incredibly diverse mixture of Chinese, Peranakan, of Malays, of Eurasians, and so on, we really get a sense of how complex and at the same time inspiring those cultural confluences are. So to look for purity within the Portuguese community here or anywhere else, really, is to look for something that is really not there. I remember one of my first trips to Lisbon. Lisbon is perhaps, you know, the city I love most outside of my landscape. And I arrived there in 2008 when the European Championship was going on, and everywhere I went to in old Lisbon, which is particularly evocative, I saw the words bola, bola, right? as in football, in support of the Portuguese team at that time. Yeah. So, you know, again, what we've always tried to do is to look at specific communities through the traditions they perform to illustrate how complicated and complex all these interactions are.
So on Sunday, we're going to be watching dances called like the Branyo dance. Mm-hmm. What is that, Pauline? And I understand there are only like two instruments involved in this, and you know, it's favored by the older generation.
Favored by the older generation. This Branyo is actually one of the basic styles of music that's performed in the Portuguese community. And it does also have a dance, which is the communal dance. One of these circular dances, very beautiful. I think sometimes there may be more than two instruments, actually. Nowadays, they play with guitar, very often sometimes accordion, percussion probably as well. They're a little bit flexible. It may have started off maybe with two instruments, but it's grown a bit since then. Some of the other dances they do are things like the farapera, which is a little bit livelier, I think, and favored by the younger generation. But all of these dances actually do trace back to the communal dances of old Portugal. One of the very famous Branyo, Jinclinona, is one of the famous Branyo
dances.
And also, like Edin was saying just now, how how the Portuguese music has influenced things like Don Dan Sayang. So the other style that was very a very major style, which has now, I think, well, according to the scholar Margaret Sarkeesian, who's done a lot of work on the Portuguese community, she says that this style has somewhat diminished within the community itself. It's a style called Mata Cantiga. And that was something, Mata Cantiga means actually to kill the song. And so it was dueling in verse, mm-hmm. Between usually a man and a woman. And there were some exponents in the Portuguese community who were very, very skilled at doing this. Now, those with the death of some of these exponents, it's quite diminished within the community. However, that was one of the styles that has very much influenced things like the Don Dan Sayang. And things like the Branyo, over the centuries, has influenced Malay joget music.
It has.
Very much so. And so even the way that the Portuguese, what we call now the Portuguese music, dance, and also language, has influenced what we know as Malay culture today and the Malay language as well.
Interesting. Joget.
All these cross interactions are extremely, of course, interesting. You see the influence of Portuguese rhythms and music upon traditional Malay music, especially social music. You see Portuguese music evolving itself as it comes into contact, for example, with the great Fado tradition of Portugal, which then, you know, helps create some kind of foundations for the development of Kronchong in this region. I know lots of Portuguese musicians are very influenced by country music.
Wow.
O Amor, for example, is, you know, has a yodeling section that was taken from Jimmy Rogers.
Yeah.
And we must remember Os Pombos, that famous country western band who used to play here, who are from the settlement, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
And I remember days, you know, in the 1980s when I used to go up to the settlement to see them play at the Fiestas in Pedro.
Mm.
Again, we're really talking about lots of interactions and lots of inevitable when human beings come into contact with each other, and they are then encapsulated in the songs and dances.
What are the challenges, Edin, in keeping this culture alive beyond its curiosity as a tourist attraction, which, you know, usually is the case?
Well, you know, that's the very interesting thing. You know, it's what we always talk about. It's seeing all these traditions within the clear light of history. I mean, already a great deal of work, Margaret Sarkeesian's book, Albuquerque's Children, is a marvelous, majestic, scholarly study on the Portuguese community, published by the University of Chicago Press. You have people like Noel Felix and Gerard de Costa and Maliao, who are performing on Sunday, who have constantly been very dedicated to seriously evolving the tradition. So while it's performed for tourist purposes, sometimes it's also performed for community purposes, sometimes. I think organizations like us and, you know, our society as a whole needs to also, you know, do our share to develop a certain kind of interest and awareness of the deep veins that run into these traditions, rather than just see it as a quick exotic kind of performance thing that we go and enjoy. It's actually very deep and a very powerful statement about how cosmopolitan we are as a people.
Yeah. And so this Sunday's performance is titled Padri Sechang.
The Songs of Padri Sechang.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Padri Sechang is the name, the Christang name of the Portuguese settlement, actually, and means the land of the priests. That's what they call their own settlement.
Okay, so it's happening 8:30 p.m. Sunday.
8:30 p.m. at the Black Box at Publica on Sunday.
December 14th.
Yes.
And this is, how long is this performance?
It goes from an hour to an hour and a half. We're slightly flexible with time, so depending on how much. Of course, it's also going to be a celebration for the end of the year, for the Christmas season, and also the audience will be invited to participate.
Mm. Ah, yes, of course.
And I think we'll have good introductions from the band itself,
yes.
Who will introduce the songs and so on. So it'll be pretty
informative.
Informative,
as well.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. So Songs of Padri Sechang, featuring the Maliao dance troupe?
1511 O Maliao dance troupe.
And this is from the Portuguese community?
This is from the Portuguese community. It's led by Gerard de Costa.
And at the Black Box, Publica Solaris Dutamas, 8:30 p.m. It's free and open to everyone if you'd like to come and you know, be a part of it. Your message, Edin?
Well, my message basically is, you know, this is a this is a form of music that I really enjoyed as a young person. And I'm so delighted to be interacting with it. So delighted, in fact, that Pauline's thinking of learning Kristang.
Oh, really?
And I'm thinking of learning Rabana, Portuguese style, actually. So I think visitations to the Portuguese settlement are going to be quite frequent from now on for
Yes, absolutely. Pauline? No, really, I think, like Edin said, this is a community who we've been wanting to interact for a long time. It says so much. It's really... it's very open and also very infectious, I think. And, you know, they have a way of just pulling you in. And so the language, the dance, the music, I mean, it's something I think we should all, as Malaysians, participate in and feel joyful about.
Fantastic. So, thank you both very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Make that date December 14th at Publica Solaris Dutama. Songs of Padri Sechang. That was Pauline Fan and Edin Koo of Pusaka on the Portuguese dance on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.